Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our first reading today comes from the book of Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need. And from the Gospel of John, we hear, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoined when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hands and put it on my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of God for the people of God. May we be blessed in our hearing.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Easter mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. So there was this cartoon that popped up on my Facebook feed this week. It was posted by a clergy friend who was pondering this story and preparing for worship. And so she posted it. She thought it was funny. It was a picture of three of the disciples standing around and talking to each other. And one of them says to the other, "All I'm saying is we don't call Peter denying Peter, or Mark ran away naked Mark. Why should I be saddled with this title?" Okay, I guess I thought it was funnier than that. But the reply is, "I see your point, Thomas, but really, it's time to move on." Oh, doubting Thomas. What are we supposed to do with him? The lectionary, that common set of readings that many churches follow, always assigns the story of Thomas for the Sunday after Easter. So it's a story we hear every year. And often sermons focus on Thomas's doubt. But this year, I wanted to take a look more closely at the disciples and wondered how they responded to Thomas's questions. You see, Thomas wasn't with them when Jesus first appeared, when the disciples saw him next. They told him, and they said, "Thomas, Thomas, we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Lord." And then, as we heard, Thomas tells them that he won't believe them unless he sees it for himself. Now, the scriptures don't tell us what the disciples said in response to him, so we're left wondering how the community reacted. How did they feel when Thomas questioned their lived experience? How did they feel when he challenged Jesus? Did they squirm in their seats uncomfortably? Did they want to speak up for Jesus and defend him? Did Thomas ask Jesus the questions that they were thinking themselves, but they were just too afraid to ask? What strikes me most about Thomas's story is not that he doubted, but that, because we all have doubts, but that he doubted so publicly, without shame or guilt, and that his faith community allowed him to do so. I'll say that again. His faith community, his friends, they allowed him to do so. And what I love about Jesus' response is that Jesus met Thomas right where he was, freely offering the disciple the testimony of his own scars, his own pain. Jesus met Thomas in his doubts. After such an encounter, I can only imagine that tenderness, the urgency with which Thomas was able to repeat Christ's words to other doubters, saying, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Because if we're honest, isn't this all of us? Don't we all wrestle with hidden doubts, hidden fears? Don't we all wonder if this miracle of resurrection is going to stay with us? The story of Thomas reminds me that resurrection is hard. It was hard from the beginning, and it's still hard now. Hard to accept, hard to internalize, hard to apply to our lives. Especially when our lives are marked by pain, loss, uncertainty, death. If anything, this story reassures me that my faith doesn't have to be straightforward. The business of accepting the resurrection, living it out, of sharing it with the world, it's hard, it's tough, and it's okay to waver, it's okay to hope for more. And we need each other in order to process it all and come to believe that resurrection is still possible today, that change and rebirth and regrowth is still possible. The author of John's Gospel wants his readers to come to believe. He wants that they would join in on the process, the path of coming to believe in Jesus. John believes that this coming to belief is not something that instantaneous, that this transformation, this following Jesus, it takes time. I don't know about you, but for me, I've hardly ever experienced instantaneous transformation. The changes that matter to me most have always come slowly over time, in fits and starts, and often without me even knowing what's going on. Maybe this is why the earliest Christians referred to their new faith as the way. A way is not a destination, it's a road to walk, it's a journey, it's an invitation to be on that journey. And so John chose an encounter between doubts and scars to help us come to belief. The author chose this example of togetherness to show us how to make room in our community for those who are struggling with their faith, who are hurting, who are on the margins. Being doubting Thomas in the world is not a bad thing. If anything, it brings us closer to God, closer to understanding how to live the way that Jesus wants us to live. It's sad that over time, Thomas has just been given such a bad reputation. Because his questions, his doubts, they all led him to a deeper faith as he expressed them so sincerely and looked honestly for answers. In this Easter season, I hope and I encourage you to be more like Thomas. Be honest with yourself and seek to understand more by asking questions. Now, I know some people will say that you don't have any right to question God, to question the validity of the resurrection, that questioning is the mark of the non-believer. But I'm here to proclaim today that, like Thomas, when you sincerely look for God in the middle of your doubts and your questions, you will find a deeper and richer faith. Now, if you spend any time on social media, on the internet, especially if you're skirting the edges of evangelicalism in those spaces, there's this conversation that's going on, and it's been going on for a few years, about this deconstruction of your faith. Because there's this whole movement of former evangelicals who say that they've been deconstructing their faith and then reconstructing it as they ask questions, wrestle with their doubts and what they've been told to believe, and then they reconstruct it in a new way. And on one side is all these others who are saying, no, you can't do that. Your faith is immovable. It's unchangeable. And then there's a whole other group that says, no, that's not bad. That's normal. We're supposed to grow. Friends, I couldn't tell you how many times my faith has changed over the years, how it's grown. That's a good thing. The writer and theologian Frederick Buechner most accurately describes the way our doubts interact with our faith journey. He writes, doubts are the ants in the pants of our faith. They keep it awake and moving. I can't tell you the number of people who have told me, especially when they find out that I'm a pastor, that if I walked inside a church building, the church building would just fall down. Have you heard that before? So many people say that. I don't know why. Oh. Maybe you think that you have to have it all together before you come to church. You think that God only wants you if you fit some sort of picture, that society has created as the average churchgoer. But Jesus won't have that. Jesus shows up wherever you are, even if you're locked in your house like the disciples were, probably feeling displaced and distraught following the dramatic crucifixion. It doesn't matter how you are, where you are, come to church. The scriptures today invite you to connect with Jesus with your fears and your doubts. And they point you toward a true community where none is better than the other, where none are excluded from the presence and love of the risen Christ. Are you still not sure if you are welcome here? Well, here's the good news. All are welcome in the family of God. All. Even doubters. Even you. Even me. Thanks be to God. Amen.